Hurry into Menards right now and save big money. Miracle-Gro raised bed soil helps you grow bigger, more bountiful plants. It provides the right foundation your plants need to thrive with a 100% organic formula that requires no mixing. Add Miracle-Gro raised bed soil to help your plants grow with organic nutrients you can count on. Visit our garden center or check out our weekly flyer on Menards.com for more great deals happening now.
Save big money at Menards.
Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game and The Game Nashville app. We're live from the Hiller Plumbing, Heating, Cooling, and Electrical Game Studios, and we are streaming live on Twitch, Twitter, YouTube, and Facebook Live every single day. Our video streaming is brought to you by Superbook. Download their app today and use promo code THEGAME. Fun day today out here at Streetcar Taps and Gardens, a gastro pub and beer garden in the heart of West Nashville, right on Charlotte Pike. They've got seasonal menus, curated beer, wine, and craft cocktails in a fully restored turn-of-the-century commercial building that once housed West Nashville's very first grocery. Pretty cool. Locally owned and operated, Streetcar appreciates the rich history of Sylvan Park, Charlotte Ave, and the nations. So we're going to be out here all day. Our show is going to be here. Jared's show is going to be here. We're going to be here until 6 o'clock, and I have a feeling we're going to hang around a little bit after that as well. So come hang out with us at Streetcar Taps and Garden until 6 o'clock. You can win Preds tickets, Sounds tickets, Three Doors Down tickets. Guns N' Roses is coming to Nashville. You can win tickets to that. Depeche Mode, Thomas Rhett, and so much more. We're going to be doing ticket drawings every 30 minutes. So come out to Streetcar, come hang out with us, and you can have a chance to win tickets to some pretty great places. D-Mace, how we doing?
Hey, I'm doing great. We're just giving stuff away. You get a car. You get a car.
We're like Oprah
you
Winfrey over here.
Exactly. You get tickets.
You're going to a Preds game. You're going to Depeche Mode. It's going
to
be a good day. I'm excited about it. Weather's not great.
Yeah.
Weather's not great. So come in. Come grab a beer.
Exactly.
Escape the rain. Come hang out with us.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But other than the rain, it's still a great day. It's still a great day.
It's a beautiful day. It's great to be alive.
To be watered today. And it keeps me from turning on my irrigation system.
Well, that's
continue
good.
To rain.
Save
it rained at least once a week because I don't want to turn it on because I don't want to pay the water bill.
I don't blame you. A little bit of gift from Mother
exactly.
Nature here. Titans back out on the practice field today. Off yesterday, back today. Obviously, we are not at practice. Weren't able to be at practice, so kind of relying on some of our friends over there that are at practice. But we'll hear from Mike Vrabel in 30 minutes. He will be at the podium, kind of a breakdown of what he saw today and what they did on their day off yesterday. So we will carry Mike Vrabel live and in its entirety in 30 minutes. We'll also hear from a couple players as well. But before we hear from Mike Vrabel and before we get some full practice reports, I want to break down, honestly, D-Mace, the story, or at least one of the biggest stories of training camp that we've been talking about pretty much every single day since the draft in April. I want to talk about the backup quarterback position because it's been really fun that there's a backup quarterback battle that I think people actually care about. Like last year, I guess you could technically call it a backup quarterback battle.
It really was.
Malik Willis and Logan Woodside. It was really like, what's the lesser of two evils?
Exactly.
Like, who's going to give us the best opportunity to win if, and then we learned when, Ryan Tannehill goes down. This year, it's fun. You've got Malik Willis, a guy who played last year when he really wasn't supposed to play, that looks better now than he did last year, which, thank you, Jesus. And Will Levis. Guy you traded up to draft in the second round, a guy that I think we all think the Titans view as the quarterback of the future. So I'll ask the question that I asked Jared and Joe last night in Jared versus Joe. Who should the backup quarterback be?
Whoever shows that they are capable of winning games, capable of coming in for a game, maybe two, hopefully nothing beyond that. But the guy that comes in and proves – that he's worthy of it, a guy that shows the most consistency, a guy that shows that he's picked up on the offense, shows leadership in the huddle, command of the huddle. That's the guy who should be, who should have the backup or the second quarterback job. I think that's how it's going to be. I don't think they predetermined who's going to be, the second quarterback to Ryan Tannehill. Vrabel doesn't seem like that type of coach. He's going to allow these guys to play it out. Vrabel always talks about, developing competition within the building, because if you develop and harness competition, that makes your team better.
Right.
So this is one of those instances where it's true. You know, Malik Willis knew what he was coming into. He knew he had basically he was behind the eight ball because of what happened last year. And he knew he had to work his tail off in the offseason to show this organization that, you know, last year was last year, that you're focused this year and you're ready to go. You're making the necessary adjustments, improvements to be a quarterback in this league. And so far, he's done that.
Yeah.
He's shown that. He's shown some consistency. And what Will Levis has to do is come in here and prove that he's worthy of that second-round pick, prove that he can be, you know, a starting quarterback in this league, prove that, you know, he can pick up on the offense, show leadership when he's out there. All of those things that were sort of questions before he got here, you know, put those to rest. Show early that you're a leader, that you're all about football, you're all about being a quarterback in this league, because it's different from any other position. It's one of those positions where, you know, everybody else can do this, but you can't. It's one of those unwritten rules. Quarterback has to be different from everybody else. Mm-hmm. Not that they want to, but you have to. You have to be a leader of a team.
It's the most important
position
in sports.
Most important position in sports. So Will Levis has to show that what they were saying about him in college wasn't true, and that he's ready and able and you know, capable of being a starting quarterback for a very long time in this league.
And I'm with you that I think having a backup quarterback battle, it's a good thing. Mm-hmm. It's a good thing for Malik Willis. It's a good thing for Will Levis. And it's overall a good thing for this offense as a whole when you have two players that are constantly pushing each other. But I asked Jonathan Hutton this yesterday. I said, is this Will Levis's job to lose? Because I think a lot of people may think, well, maybe inside the building they want Will Levis to win the job because he is the shiny new toy, because he was the second round pick, because he was the quarterback that was getting first overall pick kind of hype. Mm-hmm. So I asked Jonathan Hutton yesterday, does he think that this is Will Levis's job to lose? This was Jonathan Hutton.
I don't think so. I mean, I think I was going into it, Caroline, with that mindset. I think that the discussion of Malik Willis and his play and his overall improvements and his dedication to the offseason should be recognized. And I think it's more – that to me is more about what Malik Willis has done this offseason to receive some praise from Mike Vrabel over the weekend or last week. I mean, Vrabel doesn't hand out individual praise all that often. And he made a point to bring up Willis and what he's done this offseason specifically to put him in a position to win the battle. I also think there's a great likelihood that three quarterbacks are on the main roster. If Willis is going to play as well as he has to begin camp during the preseason games, because while no one wanted to draft him a year ago, to me, there will be more teams that want to carry three based on the emergency quarterback rule, and the Titans will likely be one of them, give or take a certain injury that would force them not to use that third roster spot because it's needed in another position.
There you go. And that was Jonathan Hutton on the backup quarterback position. But D-Mace, I'm with you. Mm-hmm. It needs to be whatever quarterback looks the best. Mm-hmm. It needs to be whichever quarterback that you look at the week before you take on the New Orleans Saints that looks like he's more ready, has a better grasp of this offense, the quarterback that looks like he has the best opportunity to give you the chance to win. Mm-hmm. Because both quarterbacks have been putting in the work in the offseason. You can tell with Malik Willis, just with the last time we saw him, what was it, probably the Texans game?
Yeah.
Versus when we saw him at OTAs, now that we're seeing him in training camp, you can tell that he put the work in. But it's about who looks the best and who gives you the opportunity to win right now. And I think Mike Vrabel is the kind of coach that he has preached over and over again. Just do whatever you have to do to win. We heard from Treylon Burks, and he was at the podium a couple days ago. He's like, if I don't touch the ball one single time and we win, I'm fine with that. If Derrick Henry needs to get the ball 150 times a game, I'm fine with that. Whatever we need to do to win. That's the Mike Vrabel kind of mentality that I think has been a trickle-down effect within the rest of the locker room. It's whatever you do, you can do to put yourself in the best position to win, whatever is best for football team. And prioritizing one backup quarterback over another isn't giving yourself the best opportunity to win. If Will Levis is the best quarterback at the end of all of this, then great, then he's going to be your backup. But if he's not, then Malik will be your backup, and we can go from there.
Yeah, I think what Vrabel is going to do is give each guy an opportunity, because I would be surprised if I saw Ryan Tannehill in a preseason game. I would truly be surprised.
Yeah.
Because it's at a point he doesn't, you know.
I don't need to see him.
You don't need. I mean, they're practicing against Minnesota. They're practicing against Tampa. Mm-hmm. So is it Tampa or New England? They're practicing against.
Practicing in New England.
New England. So,
Minnesota, New England, preseason games.
Yeah, so Ryan Tannehill is going to have enough time to get his work in mm-hmm. with those two teams, them going to Minnesota next week, and then New England subsequently coming here to practice for a few days. So Ryan's going to get his work. The work in the preseason is going to be for Malik Willis and Will Levis. And both guys are going to get an opportunity with the first unit, the first offensive line, to show what they got. And whichever guy shows a grasp of the offense, leadership, poise in the pocket, the ability to lead drives, whoever shows that is going to be the backup. And we can't sit here. I can't honestly sit here and say that I know who it is or who has the edge. I don't know.
Yeah.
Because both guys have been playing pretty well. Both guys have come in and had good days, had subpar days. But each time the conversation is brought up about these two quarterbacks, it's always positive. Each guy is getting better. Yeah, they may have a down period here and there, but I think for the most part, you know, like every cliche out there, it's, you know, building days on top of days on top of days, good ones, and it seems like that's what the quarterbacks are doing.
That does kind of feel how it is right now, kind of neck and neck.
Mm-hmm.
Like each of them have their own things that they need to work on. Will Levis on the touch, Malik Willis on the timing, mm-hmm. but really overall, we've seen good things and bad things from both, and Will Levis has looked at times like the kind of quarterback that deserves the first round kind of hype. Malik mm-hmm. Willis has looked like, at times, the kind of quarterback that put in the work that he needed to put in the offseason. So that's kind of the question. Who should the backup quarterback be? D. Mason and I are kind of in lockstep. It just needs to be whichever quarterback looks better. And if that's Malik Willis, then great. But then we can air our grievances mm-hmm. and our concerns about Will Levis whenever that day comes.
Exactly.
If that's Will Levis, then great. What happens with Malik Willis after that? I truly believe the Titans are going to carry three quarterbacks, mm-hmm. but that's something, those are evaluations and conversations that we can have once we get through the preseason. But coming up next, I want to get into what are the ceilings of those quarterbacks mm-hmm. and what do they need to do in order to get there? We'll get into that coming up next. Titans back on the practice field today. We'll hear from Mike Vrabel and a couple of players at the podium later on the 11 o'clock hour. We're live out here at Streetcar Taps in Garden. We're going to have ticket giveaways all day long, concert giveaways, Three Doors Down, Guns N' Roses, Depeche Mode, and so much more. Plus, we have got a grand prize, a pair of tickets to a Titans home game, a pair of tickets in the 501 Club at a Nashville Predators game, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel with access to sound waves. So make sure you come down to Streetcar Taps in Garden on Charlotte Pike and register for the grand prize before it is too late. We'll be doing ticket drawings every 30 minutes, so come out to Streetcar Taps in Garden. Caroline Willie, D. Mace, 102.5, 106.3, The Game. Caroline Willie, D. Mace is brought to you by Zen Sports. Start earning cash rewards on your bets today. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-889-9789. Terms and conditions apply. Must be 21 or older and in Tennessee to bet. Live out here at Streetcar Taps in Garden on Charlotte Pike, we're going to have ticket giveaways all day long. We'll have ticket drawings every 30 minutes, so come hang out. They've got a bunch of beers on tap. They've got great food, so come hang out with us. We'll be here until 6 o'clock at Streetcar Taps in Garden. So the question that I posed to D-Mace to start the show, who should the backup quarterback be? And when you hear that question in your car, you're probably yelling, it should be Malik Willis. Mm-hmm. He's the one that's got a year under his belt. Or you might be thinking, it should be Will Levis. He was the one that was taken with the 33rd overall pick. He's the one that I think we all view as the quarterback of the future. And I get it. Mm-hmm. I know. I hear you. But the real question is, very simply, whichever quarterback is best. Whichever quarterback looks better. And I think that that's the way that Mike Vrabel has run and wants to run this team. You're the best player. You give us the best chance to win. You get the best opportunities. But which quarterback do we think is going to get to that point? Which quarterback do we think has the higher ceiling? And what is their ceilings? Because I was talking about this with Jared and Joe yesterday on Jared versus Joe. Jared said that Malik Willis's ceiling is Tyrod Taylor.
I don't know. You know, it could be, but it also could be, I don't know, name another quarterback out here that is a solid starter and can win games for you. His ceiling could be Ryan Tannehill. Mm-hmm. You never know. Will Levis's ceiling could be Ryan Tannehill. It could be Justin Herbert.
Mm-hmm.
Or it could be just a backup. Mm-hmm. We don't know because we haven't seen Will Levis in an NFL game. We don't know because we haven't truly seen Malik Willis in a situation that was advantageous to him.
Right.
He was thrown in a situation that wasn't good for any quarterback. Let alone a rookie quarterback that still needed, you know, some grooming, you know. So we don't know what their ceilings are. You know, when Willis came out, it was he has a strong arm, he's mobile. You know, there were things that he could do as a quarterback that were, you know, that were things that were making people think that he was a first rounder, because it's not like, you know, one person was, you know, oh, he may be the first quarterback taken or he could be a first rounder. There were multiple people saying, you know, he has the he has sort of first round potential. You know, so what he can become, that's up to Malik Willis, and what he can become, that's up to Will Levis. You know, How much work are they going to put in? Not to say that they are, these two individuals are the guy that I'm going to name, but when this guy drafted, nobody thought he was going to end up being the quarterback he was, Tom Brady.
Mm-hmm.
Nobody said, well, Tom Brady, look, this guy, his ceiling is, he's going to be the greatest quarterback ever to play.
Right.
Nobody said
pick
that.
199, exactly. All of a sudden, nobody the said quarterback that. Of all time.
They didn't know what he was.
Uh-huh.
You know, they saw him play at Michigan, and he was a good quarterback. But beyond that, nobody knew exactly what he was or what he could be. If they did, they would have drafted him in the first round and not in the last round. So we don't know what either one of these quarterbacks can be. But for the Titans' sake, I hope one of them turns out to be a franchise quarterback.
You better hope.
Yes.
You better hope that you draft two quarterbacks in consecutive years. And if neither of them turn out to be your quarterback of the future in this AFC, you got a problem on your hands.
And again, oh, yeah.
We're not going to get upset or nervous or anxious about something that hasn't happened yet, because that hasn't happened yet. But when you're looking at the two, you can project and hope, at least, that one of those turns into the Joe Burrow of Cincinnati, the Justin Herbert of the Chargers, the Trevor Lawrence of Jacksonville. But let's get some of your thoughts on this before we get to Mike Vrabel. Again, Ryan Tannehill, Amani Hooker, and Mike Vrabel will be at the podium, so we'll get to that as soon as they head up to the podium. We will carry that live and in its entirety. But let's get your thoughts on this. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. Our phone lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. One texter texts in and says, isn't that a bad sign for Will Levis if Malik Willis wins the backup job?
No, it's not.
You don't
No, it's competition. It's not a bad thing for Will Levis. You got to remember, this is his first year. And if he doesn't win the backup job or the second quarterback job, that doesn't mean that his career is just over.
No.
That means he has to go back to the drawing table and continue to work. Continue to just hammer down on what he needs to do to be a starting quarterback in this league, to be a franchise quarterback. Just because he may not be the backup this year doesn't mean he's not going to be the starter next year. You know, so if he doesn't win that, there's no need for panic. Actually, I think people should be rejoiceful, knowing that the way Malik Willis looked last year, the work he put in, the hours of teaching by Coach London and Kelly, the fans should be happy if they're seeing this much growth. Because what is going to happen to Will Levis?
Yeah.
The same thing.
Yeah.
If he goes at it the way Malik Willis went at it this past summer, then we will see the fruits of that hard work from him, from Charles London, and Tim Kelly. I hope that Malik Willis shows enough improvement where we're still thinking on the last day who's going to be the backup quarterback. Because whoever doesn't ultimately end up being the backup quarterback, they're still going to be on this team, mm-hmm. and I think they're still going to continue to work to be a starting quarterback, especially with Charles London as their teacher, their quarterback's coach, and then Tim Kelly as their offensive coordinator.
Oh, absolutely. And I still think they're going to carry three quarterbacks.
Yes.
I mean, this conversation about the backup quarterback position is much different now mm-hmm. than it would have been maybe before the NFL changed that third quarterback rule.
Yeah.
Because then you're talking about, like, who's going to the practice squad.
Yes.
Then you're talking about, do you still carry three quarterbacks and, you know, not carry that, you know, additional inside mm-hmm. linebacker or guy on special teams or whatever it might be. So now you're at least granted the buffer of being able to carry that third quarterback on game day. It's a completely different conversation.
Because if Malik Willis, because we can't say Will Levis, because, I mean, he's on this roster
yeah.
no matter what.
Yeah.
I mean, unless he just bombs out and they're like,
even if he's bombed out,
he's still on this
right,
roster.
Right.
I just think that, you know, this is an opportunity. If Will Levis doesn't show that he can be the backup, it's still a great opportunity for him to just sit back, just like Malik Willis that mm-hmm. did last year. Just sit back, watch, learn. You don't have to be anxious or impatient or, you know, oh, I got to learn all this stuff because mm-hmm. they're going to name me to start. No, just sit back, learn the game, and then once you get an opportunity to play, you show them that, you know, sitting down and watching was beneficial for you.
I would, honestly, if Malik Willis, I did it again. If Will Levis
yes.
doesn't win the backup quarterback job, I'm going to be a little bit concerned about Will Levis. That doesn't mean that's nothing against Malik Willis. That doesn't mean that I'm going to be concerned about the quarterback position as a whole.
Mm-hmm.
But it does make me a little bit concerned about Will Levis, his development and his ability to eventually take over as a starting quarterback, maybe next season, because
okay,
he was drafted to be the franchise quarterback,
exactly.
the future of this organization. Mm-hmm. If he can't win the backup job now,
mm-hmm.
yes, you can still, you know, you can be that third quarterback and you're still going to work throughout the entire season. And you're going to work to get better.
Mm-hmm.
But those are in-game reps that you're not going to get mm-hmm. and that you hopefully eventually take over as the starting quarterback next year, if not the following year. Probably, mm-hmm. if I have to say it right now, predicting this year, predicting like right now for next year, I would say that he would be the quarterback for next year.
Yeah.
It would make me concerned if he couldn't win the job now.
I mean,
you're missing out on. That's the development that you're not able to get
that,
to
yeah.
now. And it's just isolated to Will Levis himself. It's not a concern about the team. It's not a concern about the quarterback position as a whole, because if Malik Willis looks better, then he should be the backup quarterback.
Well, I mean, after the preseason is over with, none of these guys are getting any reps. I mean, if they're getting first-team reps, it's like one or two, maybe three or four practice. Besides that,
right.
they're not getting them, because they're all going to, and rightfully so, they're all going to the starting quarterback, which is Ryan Tannehill. So, again, I am not too worried because I've seen too many times in this league where, you know, you draft a quarterback early mm-hmm. and he's just not ready.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no need to panic.
And that's okay.
You know, yeah, it's just that he's not ready to run a NFL franchise just yet.
Mm-hmm.
Even though we drafted him high, I get all of that, and the potential is there. He's just not ready yet, and we don't want to rush him. We don't even want to rush him to be the second, because if it's close, they could just say, you know what, we're throwing Will Levis in.
Yeah.
We're going to make him the backup.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the Titans want to – they don't want to rush that. If he doesn't win that second quarterback job, I think they're okay with allowing him to sit back, because they don't want either one of these guys to play.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I would rather need both of them sit on the bench and read the clipboard.
Ideally, nobody's
exactly.
playing.
Exactly, absolutely.
Because Ryan Tannehill ideally would be healthy. And
absolutely.
You don't need your backup quarterback.
So, I mean, if he doesn't win it, I can understand,
mm-hmm.
you know, yourself or fans being a little bit worried, because they're like, man, they drafted him second round.
Right.
He's supposed to be their pair next year. Don't worry about it. Allow the young man to grow, and it may be beneficial for him to sort of sit back. And again, he doesn't feel the pressure of, oh my goodness, you know, Ryan may go down one day, and I gotta be ready to go in. No, mm-hmm. I'm the third guy. Malik Willis is going in, so I can just absorb everything that's coming at me and learn.
615-737-1025 is our phone number. We'll continue to get into your thoughts on that. But coming up next, we'll hear from Ryan Tannehill, Imani Hooker, and Mike Vrabel at the podium on their thoughts, what happened at practice today, what we've seen from training camp so far. We'll get into that coming up next. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, hey, tune into 102.5 and 106.3 The Game for driver interviews leading up to the Big Machine Music City Grand Prix presented by Lincoln Tech's NADC and the Nashville Sheriff. The Big Machine Music City Grand Prix will be 3 days of racing, 3 days of music, one huge weekend event. So go to MusicCityGP.com for tickets and get ready to experience Nashville's premier speed and sound event tomorrow through Sunday. 102.5, 106.3, The Game.
You guys get to a point where that's done, clear and concise.
We'll have a test when we come to game day and the crowd's going loud and we can't physically hear each other when we just kind of have that communication where we might not be able to hear the call, but you have to understand that this is the game plan and that's what we're doing.
Imani, Shane mentioned how Harold is on the defense. He's one of the guys setting the standard for effort and intensity. From your vantage point in the back end, how is his presence now that he's going to be back for you guys? How is his imprint felt in the defense?
I mean, you can feel it. I mean, you can tell by the quarterback's clock it's running. Whenever he's in the game, you can just feel his energy. He's making plays in the run game and the pass game. Whenever Harold's out there, you know, we're a lot better as a defense.
And on the other side, when you've got Arden Key on that other side, what's he seems to be bringing to that front as well?
Another player that makes plays, playmaker. He's a high-energy player, high-effort player. I mean, ever since he's got here, he's energies from 6 a.m. until we leave the building. So he's a guy that we definitely needed, and he's going to help us out a lot.
What do you see that's different from Christian Fulton this year, maybe than the last couple of years?
I think confidence. I mean, he's going into year four, I think, for him. So his confidence is high. He's played against best receivers in the league. So he understands his capabilities, and he's applying it into camp so far.
You talked about a relationship with Kevin Byard. Mm-hmm. You've known that in the past. You guys have worked out in the offseason, and you're like the quarterbacks, like you say, of that secondary. Do you ever kind of sit back and say how cool this is to have a guy like you played with for a while now and how you guys can continue to push yourself? Like, what's that like?
Yeah, I mean, I just feel like I try and think about it when I was a kid and picture myself in the situation, and I'm in a great situation, and I'm very blessed to have a great teammate like KB, and to be going into my fifth year, and my fifth year being his teammate, I mean, it's awesome. I can't have asked for anything better, and we just got to go out there and put it to the field.
You had the concussion issues last year. Was there anything you could do, strength-wise or technology-wise, to help protect yourself this year?
I mean, just when I go in for a tackle, maybe keep my head up a little more instead of, you know, going in head down. I mean, sometimes it just happens. You get hit in the right spot, it might not take a lot to you know, cause a concussion. But, I mean, I'm going to still be aggressive. Just, you know, keep my head up a little more on the tackles.
What's the biggest thing Chris Harris has brought to this secondary?
Energy, confidence. Guys are believing in themselves. Even if it's a bad day, it's still going to be a good day because we can learn from those mistakes. You know, if someone makes a mistake, everyone in the room should learn from the correction that Coach Harris is making to that one player. So it's not a repeated mistake after over and over again.
What's the biggest difference for you in year five in training camp as opposed to what you were like in year one or two? What's easier and or harder, or when you try to accomplish more?
I feel like I've seen a lot of things. I understand when offenses come out in certain formations, I'm able to break it down to one or two things they can do. Maybe when I was a rookie, I was like, they could probably do anything. You know what I mean? My eyes are wide. I'm just trying to be in the right position. But now I'm trying to not just be in the right position for myself, but help others out as well.
Imani, that experience helped, fantasy football, you know, social media makes it so easy for fans to weigh in if, you know, if a player has a good game or a bad play. How do you handle it when you get that kind of intense focus sometimes when they're coming after you?
I mean, at the end of the day, you just got to focus on the team. I mean, all the outside stuff doesn't really matter. And then if, you know, when you're in the game and the clock's running and the ball's coming your way, you just got to make sure that all the things you practice, all the things that the coach have, you know, taught you and put a lot of pressure on you for, that you can stay calm and just be in the right position. And when the play comes, you make the play.
But during the week when, you know, it's, you know, the quiet time, you know, you're away from practice or something like that, does it feel sometimes like you're just a piece of meat and they're going after you?
I mean, maybe a little bit, but I mean, I don't let it get to me. There's just, I mean, if I was a fan and I didn't play, I'd probably be the same way. So I can't get upset about it. That just comes with the game, and that's what part of being a professional is.
As a defense, when a team is able to come out and just establish the run, like, how does that impact the mindset
you out there on the field?
You said as a defense? How's that impact? I mean, we don't want them to be able to run the ball because now they opens up the pass game. So as a defense, that's the main thing we got to do is stop the run, try and make the offense one-dimensional, so then we can take away a receiver who possibly could win the game for them.
So you feel the run game sets up the pass game?
I think the run game sets up. That's when the play-action fakes come, and that's when the linebackers come up, and then that's when they get the digs and the dig in routes coming in behind them, and that's when you can get big plays. I mean, we enjoy it because every game feels like it's a one-score game. I mean, every game, whether it's halftime or right before the end of the game, it's a two-minute situation. It's a one-score game, and those are times when you can – that's when you lose the game. I won't say that we win the game on 2 minutes. You're either going to lose a game. If one guy makes a mistake, we're going to lose the game. But as far as the defense, you know, we want to get on it early before the season starts, so we're not trying to scramble come to first game or come week three or four.
Thanks. Appreciate it.
Thank you guys so much.
All right, there we go. That was Titans safety Amani Hooker. Everything that I have seen, but right from people that were at practice on Twitter, defense dominated the offense yet again today. Ryan Tannehill was also asked about it. Hey, you know, not the best offensive day. How do you turn around, watch the film, kind of talk to the offense about it. I never want to overreact after one day of practice, one day, one position group, one individual player. But these are a couple of days that are stacking up teammates for the defense dominating the offense.
Yeah, well, they've been in camp, what, 4 or 5 days?
This is, about a week.
So they've had a handful of practices, and they only have had, what, 3 practices in pads.
Right.
I think today might have been pads. Correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not too worried because, again, I know how this goes. Defense typically has the upper hand for a few until the offense starts to feel each other out and really start to go. Because you got to understand, they got a new left tackle, a new left guard, a new center, really, because Aaron Brewer was the guard. Now he's the center, even though he played center last year. He's the full-time center now. You got a new right guard, and you got a new right tackle because Nicholas is sort of in and out of lineup, but he's there. So you're ushering in 5 new guys. So it takes them time. So add that in, and then add in that the defense is always going, at the beginning of camp, the defense is always going to be a little bit ahead of the offense anyway. So you throw those 2 factors in, and you come up with the defense, I don't want to say dominate, but the defense having better days than the offense to start off.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
Doesn't make me feel any better. Mike Vrabel's up at the podium now, so we'll send it to Mike Vrabel.
How do you see that impacting the
fourth? Well, it takes its toll. I think that there's an ability to win the fourth quarter, you know, and the cumulative effect and, you know, 3 or 4 yard gains, and you know get guys running, you know, chasing the ball, and again it wears them down. There's not usually teams have 5 or 6 defensive linemen. Maybe that does, and you know, sometimes it's taken a toll on teams, and sometimes it hasn't if we're not effective enough. But you know, and then the ability to mix plays and play actions off of it.
What's your takeaway, maybe what you saw two minute today, especially maybe on the defensive side?
I mean, it looked like they walked the ball down there with the first group and then kind of stalled when you need a touchdown. Those are tough. And I called a sack, and that's the decision I made. And then, weren't able to put it in the end zone. And then just looking for, you know, early on operation speed and making sure guys are, you know, where they're supposed to be, running routes, getting the communication from the quarterback. So that'll really ramp up, and we'll continue to do that. I would say most every day that we come out and practice. So, I mean, like I tell these guys, it's like golfing. Every putt's going to make somebody happy. You know, make it, somebody's going to be happy. Miss it, the other guy's happy. It's like defense one time, offense another. I don't know what to tell you.
Was DeMarco's block on Gibbons fair game?
I don't know what that means. What's fair game? I don't use those type of terms. No, I don't. That's
we're not, we don't want to practice like that and be a penalty in the game.
That's two times that he's disappeared from practice early. Is he hurting his chances?
Well, I mean, I think you have to just know how to practice. We talk all the time about being competitive and going to that line, and certainly not going to do anything that hurts the team. We don't want to see that.
How tough is that, Mike? Because, you know, a lot of what you talk about is preaching, you know, you want your players to be violent. But how tough is that to teach that and walk that fine line when you talk about
it? You probably have to ask the players. I'm not the ones out there doing it.
Mike, we just had Monty out here. What's the luxury for you to have veteran safeties like him?
There is a comfort, you know, I mean, they make all the checks, and that's we've taken those guys out of there at times just to say, you know, let these other guys figure it out. And, you know, there are going to be games where, you know, maybe those guys aren't in there and forcing other guys to make communication. But, you know, there is a comfort level with those guys back there, the way they communicate and their ability to do different things and execute all the different techniques.
The league more this year operationally to make the right reads to compared to how he was last year as a rookie?
Well, I don't think it's, you know, it does us any good to go back and say where Malik was or how far he's come. I think that he's competing. I think he's much more comfortable. I see a much more confident player. And therefore, it's easier to coach him. I think that's been the thing here. It's just been easier to coach him because he does have just a greater knowledge and understanding, a comfort level, and there's mistakes like every other player. But it's been easy, I think, to coach him because he kind of knows maybe before, you know, you bring something up or, you know, even ball security when he's scrambling and he's trying to leave the pocket and making sure that there's two hands on the football or whatever it may be. So, not really focused on where he was, focused on where he's at now and making corrections and continuing to improve. And, you know, threw one in there, stood in there today. I mean, got the center and the nose guard and the running back standing on his lap, and he, you know, flicks it in there to Racy and, you know, a tight window, and had to put some steam on it to Josh, who made a great catch. So, you know, there's going to be a lot of things that are positive, and there'll be some things that Tim and Charles would get cleaned up.
You've tied Phillips in the strength and the weight that he put on this offseason. Is that strictly a durability thing, or is that something that you see showing up in his play?
I mean, it's a violent game. These guys are, you know, working on the middle part of the field. And, you know, so if that can help him stay durable and be strong and, you know, help him out, I don't think it's affected his quickness. And his ability to get in and out of cuts.
You were gesturing that you were going to give the whistle to some of the defensive guys. It's being funny, but sending a message, too, that you don't want to hear so much from them about results of plays? Or
no, just my way of having a conversation with them. And, you know, everybody's into practice, and it's spirited. And, you know, they give it to me. I try to give it back to them.
Kamani was saying that today was – a good mental test for the rest of the players, you know, starting outside and then going inside. He likened it to a sudden change.
Yeah, the distractions, I mean, they're all over the place. Plenty of distractions, how we handle them. You know, we can't eliminate them. We've proven that year in, year out, week in, week out. There's going to be something. It's just how we handle them and how we can focus on where we're going next and what's needed to be done next. And so maybe that's difficult for younger players and, you know, talking about, you know, having your knees bent and your head on a swivel. So things come up and we adjust to them. Sorry.
Knowing the guy that Aziz is off the field, very mild-mannered, reserved kind of guy, do you ever get surprised when you see the passion and fire that he practices and plays with?
Probably not. I mean, I think that's cool to see that, you know, again, He's always kind of had that, and that's, you know, what he thinks his edge is, and it's certainly served him well up until now. And, you know, being undrafted, and he go back and tell those stories of, you know, coming in there and having a chip on his shoulder and always trying to have something to prove. So I appreciate it.
You talked about Chris Moore never getting tired. Is that pretty rare in your experience for a receiver to be able to run and never show a get winded?
It's a good skill to have. I mean, but also he's not just a, you know, he still can run. You know, I look when we send him deep or through the middle part of the field, he can run, and he knows all the positions at wide receiver, and also, you know, working hard at special teams. So rare, I don't know. You know, I mean, they're professional athletes. That, you know, when you're a receiver, hopefully you can run fast for extended periods of time.
I was talking about Traylon's now learning another position at receiver. How much does that help a guy's value when he can learn the other side?
And, well, once he does that, then you're able to move him around a little bit. You know, Timmy can put him into different formations and say you're the X or the Z, and they think that's probably going to, you know, help him, and there'll be maybe some new learning and some new installation. But I think in the long run, if we can stick with it, I think it's just going to help him and allow us to move him around based on, you know, the formation that comes in.
How's Harold been as you kind of ranked him up? Is he back to where it's just like everybody else?
He goes in and he, to this point in time, I think has responded well to the work that we've had, and hasn't had any setbacks, and conditioning looks good, and continuing to add reps and plays to his practice each day.
Say something that he hasn't needed a day off.
Well, they get one every 2 days. Everybody gets one.
Coach, I was talking to Will Levis just about it's very rare sometimes to have two really young quarterbacks in that room really battling for a spot like that in the backup spot. He said, we're such good friends, and the quarterback room is so – I mean, how big is it to have that culture? And I know it's hard sometimes when you're battling for
– Yeah, and it is, and I think I do appreciate, you know, their attitude and their willingness to come together and communicate, help each other. But also understand that when they go out there, they've got a job to do, and that's to compete, and it's to help the team and to help their situation. And you know, I think it's just a testament to them and who they are at the position, and knowing whether, you know, whatever they're called to go in there, they have to go in there.
Years ago, you talked about a backup quarterback and compared it to a relief pitcher finishing a game, coming in for the starter. Do you coach it differently with young guys right now battling for that backup spot than with the season?
Yeah, I think probably it's going to be, you know, right now this is developmental, this is competition, this is you guys are, you know, trying to go earn a starting job. And we probably haven't gotten to that point where, because they are getting, you know, we're trying to make sure that the reps are even and trying to make sure we know when the season comes that, you know, some of those reps aren't, you know, with the offense, they don't get as many of those. And the preparation is probably a little different. So we're not there yet. And so we're just trying to let them go and give them, opportunities to go compete.
What did you like about more Jimmy Murray the first time he was here? And kind of what was the reasoning of bringing him in this late in camp or this point in camp, rather?
Jimmy's played in the league and smart guy, and you know, with that willingness to one, you know, we got three quarterbacks, and so you'd like to have three lines, because the more when that deteriorates, then somebody's taking more reps, and then more reps leads to potential injury. And so I really want to rep these quarterbacks and give them an opportunity, and so we needed kind of another body, and he came in, worked out, and did a nice job.
Thanks, guys.
All right, there you go. That was Titans head coach Mike Vrabel at the podium. We'll react to what he had to say coming up next. Just a reminder, we're live out here at Streetcar Taps and Garden. It's a Castro Pub and Beer Garden in the heart of West Nashville, serving seasonal menus, crafted beer. They've got a bunch of local beers on tap, wine, craft cocktails, and a fully restored turn-of-the-century commercial building that once housed West Nashville's first grocery. We've got ticket pulls every 30 minutes. We've got tickets to give away to Titans games, to Predators games, to a pair of tickets in the Eurozone Club at Nashville Predators games, and a two-night stay at Opryland Hotel, along with Titans home game tickets for our grand prize. So come out here to Streetcar Taps and Garden for your chance to win some tickets. Great things coming up. Caroline, Willie, D-Mace, 102.5, 106.3 The Game.